2:35. So that was about a 30-minute press conference. Covered a lot of ground there. I still have questions left. I don't know why I was making notes. Wheeler's sitting here typing like a madman. Let's talk to Bernie Miklas. Bernie, I'm just going to let you lead the whole thing off, and you take it where you want to go.
Well, it was good to hear everyone discuss what the exact plans were. You know, we were, I'm not going to say it was a mystery. We had kind of, because of some great reporting done by Katie Wu and Derek Gould, we were able to figure out exactly where this was going to go. But it was still good to hear all the people involved speak to it and speak out on it and describe it and explain the roles and explain who's going to be doing what and what the primary objective is. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and be a phony from the standpoint that, you know, I thought maybe Bill DeWitt would have done better to turn the thing over to Heim Bloom. And part of that is I just think because it would be better for his business. And I think it would make the fans happy because you're going to turn it over to Heim Bloom anyway. But I'm also one of the kind of people that looks at it this way. Okay, they made their decision. I expressed my dissent. But now what I care about is, all right, are they going to be able to get this done? Like, what are the chances they're going to do? They're taking on an endeavor they haven't done in a very, very, very long time, which is like completely redo their player development minor league system and just pour a tremendous amount of resources into it. And it is a massive undertaking, and it's long overdue. And I'm really excited to see just how good Heim Bloom is at this, because his reputation is that he is great at this. And it's exciting to just think about the possibilities of how strong the Cardinals will become again in the area of player development, because that was such a strong area for decades. And then it just kind of fell apart. So this is going to be something new and exciting. It's not going to be for everybody, because you won't see you won't have the instant gratification. They're not going to be like spending a bunch of money on free agents. So with some fans, some media, it'll be kind of a buzzkill, because this will be a totally different type of offseason. But my point is that it's really, really overdue for them to have this kind of offseason, because they've been muddling around at the same level now for a while, where, okay, maybe if everything breaks right, you win 86 games, you make the playoffs, maybe you win 82. Is that enough? You know, they need to get away from that trajectory and move to a higher trajectory. And the only way to do that is to redevelop your player development system in your minor leagues, because they're way behind the industry.
So, Bernie, four words from Mo that just kind of got thrown in there. I think he actually was kind of off mic when he said it, but payroll will go down.
Right. I think that's natural. It's what I totally expected, because when you're going to change your operating model because you have to catch up and you have to get even with the rest of the industry, but as they said, even try to get ahead of people again, nothing is to be gained by throwing money around on like half measure free agents that might get you a few more wins, but they're really not going to change your team's ability to contend for a pennant or a World Series. So you're sort of loading up the payroll with all these kind of mid-range players that frankly don't move the needle all that much. So what is the wisdom of continuing down that path when you can have better payroll efficiency going forward? And you're also going to use this time, as they should, to find out exactly what they have with all these young hitters and these young pitchers, and to make big decisions about whether they're going to be a big part of the season or the coming seasons. And the only way to do that is to let them play all the time, let them pitch all the time, instead of wasting money on these free agents that are okay, they're fine, they're solid. But they do not in any way make you a world championship contender.
Yeah, and I think it should be pointed out, too, and you know this, Bernie, but I want to point it out to the listeners, because I can already hear that I'm getting questions on Twitter, and I can hear the questions. Well, does this mean that they're going to be trading Arenado or Contreras? It doesn't necessarily mean that. Just by not bringing back guys that can go to free agency, they can save $60, $70 million. You know, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is $26 million that they don't need to spend next year, because he didn't do much for your record. You can replace that Kyle Gibson was a valuable player this year, but as you're talking about, they have candidates in-house that can do what he did for the league minimum, like, you know, like McGreevy and guys like that. Right. Same thing with Lance Lynn. Those two combined, that's $24 million. Keenan Middleton is $6 million or $5 million. He didn't pitch.
I don't know who that is.
Right. He was hurt. And Gallegos was $5 million. So when you just – if you just look at this and say the team that ended the year, you just take away Paul Goldschmidt, all those other guys leaving, that is a gigantic reduction in payroll that leaves you room to still add – and also bring the payroll down. So I just wanted to be clear, because that doesn't necessarily mean we're looking at some kind of fire sale or that Helsley's going to be gone because he's in arbitration. It's important to understand what that means in terms of where they are now in payroll.
Wheels, how
well, I do think, I'll be brief. I do think, however, it would be in their best interest to explore to see what kind of trade market there is out there for these guys.
Sure, sure.
Because if especially if Heim Bloom is involved, they may be able to really make some trades that set them up very, very nicely.
Right.
For 2026, 2027. So they wouldn't be doing their jobs if they didn't explore that.
Correct. Correct. But the point I'm trying to make is that they don't have to do that. They can do what will yield what you're talking about, which is that great return. And if you get that great return, wonderful. And there may be some other guys. We've talked about it already, Bernie. Do you find a way to get somebody to take all or some of Michaelis's contract? Nobody's taking all of it. That's a pipe dream. But, you know, do you find ways to move off of him or Steven Matz and some other, again, guys that are making money that didn't really impact the win-loss column in a positive way?
No, there's always a market for innings guys who throw a lot of innings, like a Michaelis, but they're going to have to eat a ton of that salary.
Right,
but
right.
You know, but the bottom line is they would move on from him and give that an opportunity to a younger starter, because they got some young pitchers on the way that are really close and who were legit as far as prospects. So we'll see what happens there. But listen, I just keep going back to one thing, because people forget about how the Cardinals became one of the great franchises in sports. And it was because Bill DeWitt many moons ago hired Jeff Luhnow to come in to redo everything in terms of scouting, drafting, player development, instruction, opening up an academy in the Dominican Republic, international scouting. I mean, he revolutionized the way the Cardinals were doing their business. And he put in a whole new model that sustained them at a highly successful rate for many, many, many years. And they let it slip. They let it deteriorate. They let it erode. And now they sort of have to do this all over again. But I would just appeal to people from this standpoint. Like, this worked. This worked incredibly well when Bill DeWitt took this initiative in the early aughts. It set them up for a prosperous future. Bill DeWitt's trying to do this again. And in my opinion, he's bringing in the right guy to do this again, because Heim Bloom, his specialty is player development and some other things, but especially player development, minor league system. Also, judging value for players, where you don't spend $15 million on a player where you can get someone just as good for $6 million. Like, he's really good at that type of thing. So, I mean, I know what the cynicism is like. All right. I'm a cynic myself. But when it comes to this, I know what Bill DeWitt did before, and I know how well it worked. And he's now trying to do it again. We can fuss about he took too long to come to this part. That's true. We could fuss about the fact that Mo's going to be back in his chair for another year. There's things we can fuss about. But if anyone who dismisses this is like, oh, they're cheap. You know, they're just trying to find an excuse to cut payroll. All due respect, you could not be more incorrect with that. I mean, you're entitled to be frustrated. You could not be more incorrect by assuming that this is some kind of cynical, hey, we're gonna cut the payroll and they're not gonna know about it. We're gonna get away with it. It's nothing like that at all. They desperately need to replenish their player development system, and with all of the resources that have not been put into this for a long time.
All right, that's Bernie Michaelis. Kevin Wheeler is here, obviously. Every day we'll be talking to Kevin and Bernie on the other side. Derek Gould is going to join us in the 4 p.m. hour. Don't go away. Big Cardinals news. Be right back.
I am still living. living with your ghost.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, few minutes shy of 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., we're going to take your phone calls. So you know how phones work and clocks work. So just when we get to the top of the hour, you want to call in 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Bernie Miklas with us for one more segment. Bernie, you talked about how if you want to, you can find stuff to fuss about. What was the best thing you heard that gave you the most hope? And what would you really like to have heard that you didn't?
Well, I thought I really wanted to hear from Chaim Bloom, and that's no that's no disrespect intended to Mr. DeWitt or John Mozeliak, but we kind of know where they're coming from. We haven't had a chance as fans and as media to really have just an opportunity to listen to Chaim Bloom and what he sees. And I'm aware of his background. I've been doing so much research on why he's so good at what he does, and a lot of people don't take the time to understand what happened in Boston. That's fine, but just to hear him communicate his vision for getting the Cardinals caught up in player development and just bringing them into the modern age in so many different ways. This is a guy who absolutely knows precisely how to do that. And just to hear the voice and the enthusiasm go with what I know is a really smart baseball mind, that was the part that I really liked. It was more of a general thing than any one thing that he said. Okay, what did I not hear that I would have liked to have heard? I think I would have liked to have had more of an explanation about why Bill DeWitt believed so much in John Mozeliak to give him that final season as the man in charge. And did he think that perhaps from a business standpoint, because there's a lot of fan unrest, that would sort of hurt the brand to do that? And that's a harsh thing to say, but we're adults here. Let's speak to the truth about the fact that even Mo jokes around about how unpopular he is. So I would have liked to have heard more on that, actually.
Let me ask you one more question before I go back to wheels. So something I didn't quite understand, you were touching on it at the end of that last segment about you have young guys, you play them every day. You don't use mediocre older guys that are $15 million a year. But when Mr. DeWitt was kind of bragging, kind of flexing about our six youngest players had the most playing time of the six youngest players on any other team, what I wrote down was because you don't have better older players. Am I missing it too?
No, actually, you're making me laugh, but that's a good thing. That's an endorsement because I'm laughing at what you said, because I felt roughly the same thing, because you had so many openings and you had so many holes that it did create opportunities for younger hitters. And some of them were really good, like Mason Wynn. Some of them were not good. But it doesn't mean that they've hit a dead end. I mean, there's a potential for them, Walker, Gorman, things like that. And there's a lot more there with Nootbaar as well. That you can see that there's talent there. They have to find a way to get it out of them. And that's another thing today we didn't hear. And maybe in the sort of after the press conference when people break out into groups, whether the coaching staff is going to change and whether – and we know that Ali Marmol's coming back. But I cannot believe that they would bring the same coaching staff back. To me, that would be – you got to be kidding me. That would be one thing I would say. Well, they still haven't learned from what's happened over the last year or so.
Yeah, so my favorite thing that came out of this, guys, was just the public acknowledgement that they haven't had it right, that they need to change. Because for a long time, they've always pushed back against change, as if the older ways of doing things would come back around again. So I know it's a broad thing, but that's my favorite thing. My least favorite thing, and I understand maybe it's due to time constraints, right? Because you're doing all of this in a half an hour, and everybody there only gets one question. So we may get to this in the follow-ups, right? Because Matt Pauley's over there doing interviews, and Derek Gould and Katie, everybody's going to be talking in more depth to all the players, the main players here, DeWitt, Mozeliak, and Bloom. But the one thing I didn't hear that I wanted to, I want to hear more about how you're going to help major league players be better. When they're struggling, how are we going to get them better? How are we going to change somebody's pitch mix if it's not working? How are we going to fix Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker so we don't have to send them down? I don't know what that answer would even look like, but I really wish there was more on that, and hopefully we'll get it.
I think, to your point, you're absolutely right. I think this is where Chaim Bloom comes in, because again, I know that he's being cast as the guy that's going to implement all the recommendations he made after studying this problem for months and months and months, talking about the minor leagues and player development. But there, it doesn't just end there. I know for a fact, talking to some people who work for the Cardinals, that the Cardinals are way behind at the major league level too, in terms of technology, analytics, staffing. And Chaim Bloom will get the major league club. He'll get them totally up to speed in terms of the available technology that really does help young hitters. And by the way, us 60-year-olds or whatever, you know, we can grouse about analytics all we want. All this technology, you know, yeah, go ahead and grouse about it. But every single one, every single young hitter and pitcher love this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of raised on this stuff. And when then they get to the major leagues or the high minors, and that stuff's not there. Like literally in high school, they may have had better things to rely on as far as tools, right? So I know that we old folks are going to grouse about it. I'm tired of hearing about analytics. Well, maybe you are, but it's a huge part of the game, and the Cardinals are lagging way behind, even at the major league level. So it's about time that they change that, and they have to change it. And Chaim Bloom, who understands it as well as anybody, will put them back in the forefront of this.
Perfect day to have Bernie Mikulas on. Bernie, thank you. Why don't you end up with telling us about your friends at Saliga?
You got it, man. Oh, thanks for having me, man. I always love coming on.